everybody, and welcome to my podcast, Fulfillment in Faith. I am your host, Shannon Bondor, and I am a best-selling author, mentor, mindset and manifesting coach, and public speaker. Today's episode is a continuation of my series, You Are Not the Only One. I was brought forth to do this series because during my healing from my addiction to alcohol, there were so many times that the universe had brought me to silence. And during those times is when I learned so many things about myself and I was guided. I was guided to talk openly about my past, my abuse, my addiction, and to speak my truth. From those moments of silence is when we learn, we grow, we teach, and then we help others. Today, my guest is Stephen Hill, and I am beyond excited to have him here. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I am so, so excited.
I'm excited for you. I'm excited for all of my audience members to hear your story because it's very touching. It's very eye-opening. It's so real. And so many people on so many levels are going to connect with what you have to say. At this time, I would like you to share with everybody where you're from, a little bit about yourself, and then from there, Stephen, you can go right into your story.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, first off, again, I am so excited to be here, and I have been looking forward to this since the pre-interview, and I am on cloud nine right now. I'm so excited. My name is Stephen, obviously. I am 31 years old. I am a Leo, and if you're interested, I am a Leo. My moon is in Pisces, and my rising is Sagittarius, for those of you that care about that. I'm from High Point, North Carolina, the furniture capital of the world. I love all things Taylor Swift. If you can see in the video, she's in my background. She is the queen of my life. My dog, Isabella, who's over here with me, she's the queen of my life. She owns my entire existence, and I am a manifestation coach, an inspirational speaker, and I coach the superstars of the world. And I am just so excited to be here.
Oh, well, we are excited to have you.
Yes.
Right on.
I'm just so thrilled. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, you know what? I love your energy too. Like, you are just the happiest person. I couldn't have woken up to a more happy person today. So I'm going to thank you for that because you're matching my energy by far. I've had this type of energy all week long because of all the amazing things that are happening in my life. So, but let's get into your story.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes. So, okay. So let's just go back to the little small Stephen. I grew up, my mom was a single mom. And I didn't have anything to do with my dad until I was about 7 or 8 years old. I started going around him. And while I was going around him, my mom wasn't aware of it, but he was abusing me while I was going around him. And so I kept it from her. And finally, one day, he drops me off at my grandma's house. And I'm standing there in the living room and I'm crying. And my grandma's like, "What is going on, Stephen? What is wrong with you?" And I just said, I just was begging her, you know, "Don't tell on him. He'll get in trouble." And she finally got it out of me. And so I finally shared. I had bruises on my back and all the way down my legs just from where he was abusing me. So my mom ends up getting custody of me. So I grew up, you know, without a father in my life. I also grew up extremely confused about who I was. I knew that I was different. I knew there was something in me that was different than all the other boys at school. I just knew something was different. I grew up going to a Baptist church every Sunday. I loved God. Jesus was very important in my life. I remember as a little boy, like laying my head down on the pillow and just talking to Jesus. I always felt like he was speaking to me, but I also felt this guilt because I knew that I was different from just a very small age. I knew that I was different. I knew that I was gay, even at such a young age. And I grew up struggling with who I was, struggling with identity, struggling with my sexuality, struggling with my relationship with God. Well, when I was 12 or 13 years old, I went to a church camp. I was gone for 5 days. And while I was there at church camp, I was noticing the minister with the microphone And I was like, I want to be up there speaking. I want to be up there talking about God. Something in my heart was just calling me to talk about God. I don't know. Whenever I came home from church camp at the end of that week, when my mom picked me up at the church, because we were going at this camp in Virginia, we came back to the church and my mom's standing there outside the car. The first words I said to my mom, it wasn't, "Hi, Mom, I missed you." It wasn't anything like that. The first words I said to my mom is, "Mom, I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to preach. I feel like God's calling me to preach." So growing up in my teenage years, I always felt like there, not only was my, you know, sexuality different from everyone else, from the boys around me, but it also felt like I had a special calling on my life. I felt like I had more on my shoulders. I felt like I had more to live up to. Well, after I want to say 13, 14 years old, I stopped going to church, stopped going to the Baptist church, and, you know, was in high school, played the trumpet. The trumpet was my life. I just, marching band, it was just my life. And then I just felt like I'd put that little tidbit in there just in case anybody's a trumpet player, a musician. It felt, and then I want to say I was 17 years old and I became friends with this guy from my mom's job. And he and I became friends. And he was going to a church, a Pentecostal church. But this was like apostolic Pentecostal, a very strict denomination. But the first time I went, I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the church. I fell in love with that charismatic type of worship, people raising their hands, people shouting, dancing. I just fell in love with that kind of energy. I remember that night, I was like, oh my God, I can feel the presence of God. I can feel God. I feel like God is here with me. So I started attending this church. Like I said, when I was 12, 13 years old, I felt like God was calling me to be a minister. Well, at 18 years old, I delivered my first sermon, and that was very exciting for me. And so here I am going to this church, building up a lot of respect at my church and other surrounding churches that our pastor knew. My pastor was kind of like training me and mentoring me to become a minister. All the while, I was struggling mentally and emotionally because I knew in my heart that I was gay. I knew who I just knew. I felt like if people find out that God is that they are going to just despise me, if people find out, they're going to turn their backs on me. And there was a subconscious belief that I had had since I was a little boy that if I tell anyone that I am gay, if I utter it to anyone, that God will punish me. If I say it, it was just this subconscious belief. If I tell anyone that I'm gay, God will punish me. I mean, I remember being in church and sitting there on the chairs and the pews, and just in the back of my mind, I was like, are people looking at me? Do people think I'm gay? I was very paranoid. So this was like affecting my mental health and my self-esteem. I just despised myself. When it would come time to pray at church, I would be up there on the altar weeping and crying, God, please take this from me. Please make me straight. Please change me. I mean, I was weeping. I was starving myself, fasting, you know, begging God to make me straight, to change who I was. So as a result of all that, I also developed like an eating disorder. So I was, you know, and I was really, really struggling. I was struggling with my mental health. Well, in 2013, 10 years ago, it's 2023 right now, 10 years ago, someone had found out that I was gay and they ended up outing me. They shared with, you know, the world that I was gay. And so that information was put out there. I vividly remember the shame that I felt. I felt like I had let God down. I felt that I had let my church down. I felt as though I had let my pastor down, who I looked up to more than anything in the world. I felt like I let my mom down. I felt like I let everybody in my life down, especially God. So the story goes, while I was at this church, I had told the pastor that I wanted to be rebaptized, that I wanted to prove to God and to the church, mostly to the church, because I just remember feeling shame from them, that I wanted to be baptized. I wanted to be rebaptized just so I could become, so that I felt like that was like me making a proclamation. I'm no longer going to engage in like being gay. I'm going to let that go. I'm going to become straight. I'm going to prove to God and to the church and to the people in my life, I want to be straight. And the minister who baptized me, when I came, in this certain religion, they use a lot of fear tactics against LGBT people, just people in general. I remember when this minister, not my pastor, he was a guest minister, he baptized me. When I came out of the water, he said words to me that were very, that, you know, now that I say them, they're very shocking what he said. But back then I was like, yes, I need to hear this. Yes, this is what I needed to hear. He said to me, I just prayed to God. And this is like very blunt. And this is very, you know, very shocking the way he said it. I just prayed to God that if you are ever with another man, that God will kill you, that God will take your life away in order to keep me in fear of going back out and, you know, being with another guy. So I was terrified. I was also not just terrified. I was mentally and spiritually and physically, like, I was exhausted from just hiding who I was and just putting on this show of someone that I'm not. I remember when the church had found out that I was gay, my pastor who was mentoring me, he was not happy at all. The news had broke out. All these churches that were beginning to respect me, they had found out. And my pastor said to me in his office, my friend was there with me, one of my other mentors. The pastor said to me, it was kind of like good cop, bad cop. The pastor was the bad cop. He said to me, your ministry as of now, it's over in North Carolina. Like, these other churches, they have lost respect for you. He's like, your ministry's over, you know, it's when it comes to, in this area, it's over. I'm trying to get you to understand, Stephen, that your ministry's over. Well, my other mentor, the good cop, was there, and he said, yes, you may have in this area, but God is a big God, and this is a big world. This is a big world, and God is a big God. It's not over for you. It may look like it's over, but it's not over. So remember that part of the story. God is a big God, and this is a big world. So fast forward to, I ended up leaving that church and going down to Atlanta in 2013 to help out another church. Actually, it was 10 years ago this time, this month, I was in Atlanta. And I ended up helping this church. And while I was there, I got a job at a Tex-Mex restaurant called Don Pablo's. And the food was delicious. And I became friends with one of the coworkers. Mind you, this is Atlanta, right? Here I am trying to, you know, be straight. And I go down to Atlanta, like the gay capital of the world. It's like, you know, so I'm down there and I get this job and I became friends with my coworkers. And he knew that I was gay. I shared it with him in secret because he was gay. Well, one night, all of us coworkers, we go out to eat. And I looked at him and I said, let's go to a gay bar. I had never been to one before. And that night he took me to it. One of the best nights of my entire life. Had never experienced anything like that up until that point. I thought I was alone in the world. I thought it was just me who was struggling with being gay. I thought it was the only gay person in the world, but here, no, definitely not the only gay person in the world. So I'm down there for a couple of months. I end up coming back home, started going to another church, same denomination, just a different church here in North Carolina, and became heavily involved in that church. Wonderful people. I have nothing ill to say against these people. Just wonderful people. Even though that's kind of like very, very cultish, but still wonderful people. And while I was there, I ended up becoming the bus ministry director. I was gaining respect from them. It felt like God was like, I was building myself back up, but all the while in the back of my head, you know, people are going to find out you're gay. They're going to find out you're going to be outed. You know, all this information, I was just really, really struggling with who I was, even though these people were loving me and being there for me. And I was really doing really well. I was still struggling mentally and emotionally with who I was. So while I'm there, I become the bus ministry director, gaining respect, doing really good. Well, in 2015, the story goes like this. 2015 was one of the worst years of my life. It was a very rough year. At the beginning of the year, I got my first speeding ticket. I didn't go to court and get it taken care of. I got another speeding ticket. I didn't go to court, get it taken care of. I got a ticket for driving with no tags and no insurance on my car. I didn't get it taken care of. And then fast forward to October of 2015, I put on Facebook. I was exhausted. I mean, I was so tired of pretending that I was someone, something that I'm not. So I put on Facebook. I had just moved into a new place and I was so excited about it. And I put on Facebook the night I moved in, I am gay. I put out there, I am gay. This is who I am. I am gay. Well, my friends really didn't have anything to do with me. It felt like, and I remember that night when I came out of the closet, I felt so lonely. I felt so by myself. Remember the subconscious belief that I had all those years, God is going to punish me. God is going to punish you if you come out as gay. Well, fast forward, I'm living in this new place for about a month, and I loved it so much. The day before Thanksgiving 2015, a cop pulls me over and he says to me, "You do know you're driving," because I got speed. He said, "Not only were you speeding, but your tags are dead on your car. And you're driving with no insurance. Also, give me your license." He went and runs my license. He says, "You know your license are suspended because the court, you didn't show up for your court dates. So your license are suspended for not showing up. You're not supposed to be driving." So he says, "I'm going to have you, you need to get out of the car. Come get in my car." I sat in the passenger seat. He said, "I'm going to have your car towed." I got my Bible out of the car because I knew I was never going to see the car again because I didn't have the money to get it out of towing. And I had a Jersey Mike's sub that I was so excited to get home to eat. I just wanted to get home and eat my Jersey Mike's sub. So I get in the passenger car side of this police officer's car. We're on a very busy highway, I-40 in Greensboro. It's super busy. So I'm sitting there and he's looking at all the computer stuff. And he said to me, I think I'm going to have to arrest you. You might have a warrant out for your arrest because you didn't show up to court. And I remember sitting there and looking out the window and my sensitive self, I started to cry and I was wiping my tears. It wasn't like very obvious. I was just like trying to, you know, and the police, he had a very stern voice with me, but then he softened his voice after he seen me cry, I guess. And then he said, "I'm going to take you home." So he took me to the place that I had just moved into. I get out of his car. I grab my Bible. I grab my Jersey Mike sub. I go into the house. I go into my room. I shut the door. I put my Bible and my Jersey Mike sub on my bed. And I fell straight to the ground on my knees. And I knew in that moment that I had hit rock bottom. I knew in that moment my life was forever changed. I knew that I was about to, if something told me spiritually, intuitively, you're about to enter a very dark chapter of your life. Life is about to be forever different for you. It all this had culminated to this point. Now, mind you, I thought you lost your car. Not only did I lose my car, but I lost my job because I was a truck driver and the truck drivers have to have license. I had to move out of the new place I moved into because I didn't have money to pay rent. So I had to move back in with my mom. I felt as though God was punishing me. I felt like, oh, because you came out as gay, God is punishing you. So I moved back in with my mom. I do want to say real quick, the depression that I entered into that I'm about to talk about is nothing to do with my mom. My mom is incredible. She supported me throughout all of this. But when I was there, I wasn't working. I isolated myself from the world and I had no friends. My friends from church weren't talking to me. It just felt like I was so lonely. I was so lonely. And I moved back in with my mom. And the only time I would get up off the couch was to go get something to eat or go to the bathroom. So very quickly, I gained 70 pounds in just 2 years. I developed an anxiety. I developed anxiety because I was so afraid that people from church were going to see me out in public. Look at him. He's ruined his life. He came out as gay. And look, he's ruined his life. Ha ha. Like I thought if people from church see me, they're going to judge me and criticize me. All those years hating myself, despising myself. I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror because I thought that I was, you know, like I'm gay. And so all this fear had culminated and come into this point. So here I am living at home with my mom, developed this anxiety about going out in public. I remember the first time. The very first time that I was afraid to go in the grocery store, we were outside the grocery store. My mom asked me to go in and grab something. And I remember begging her to not make me, don't make me go in there. Please, please, please don't make me go in there. I'm so scared. Like it was like this anxiety had gotten to the point where it was so bad that I would literally go 3 to 4 months at a time without ever leaving the house. So while my mom, brother, and sister were going to work and school, my life was just in the house, this very small two-bedroom house, very, very tiny. I completely isolated. I put myself in this little self-imposed prison. The anxiety was so bad that I couldn't even walk to the mailbox, which was less than 7 feet in front of the house. I would open the door. I would look out. I'd look back and forth. Oh my God, are there cars coming? Are there people coming? And if there was, I'd shut the door. I'd get on the porch and I'd look around. If a car was coming, I'd go back inside. And I'd wait until it was completely clear and I'd go out and I'd check the mail. It was torture for me. In this time, I remember when I was gaining weight, I would go look at myself in front of the mirror. And so if you're watching the video of this, I would put here, I have my hand right here, and the hand represents the mirror. And I'd get this close up to the mirror, my face really up close to the mirror. And I'd look at myself in the eyes. I hate you. I despise you. You sicken me. You're disgusting. You're ugly. I hated myself for who I had become. I hated myself because I was depressed. I hated myself because I couldn't live my life. I hated myself for being gay. I hated God. I hated the church. I hated the world. I hated my entire life, my entire existence. There were times when, you know, as a, you know, just being very, very, very honest, there were suicidal thoughts every day. Every day. I remember one time my mom said, she's like, sometimes I'm afraid I'm gonna come home and you're not gonna be alive. You know, so I don't think I would ever, like, those thoughts came up. And I just remember really the idea of, like, the idea of living just didn't make sense. Well, why would I live? I'm a failure. I'm nothing. Why would I live? What people already, they don't care about me. They don't care about me. So if I died, it's not like they would care. They'd go on with their lives like normal. Why in the world? Why would I live? Yes, sure, it'd be painful for a few people for a while, but then they'll get over it. You know, people don't need me. I'm not that important. And so I continued isolating myself from the outside world. I hated myself. I hated who I was. I remember in 2017, I still hadn't got those tickets taken care of. I remember I got 3 or 4 knocks on the door. 2 police officers showed up and said, hey, you've got a warrant out for your arrest. We've got to arrest you. They took me to jail. I was in a holding cell for 45 minutes. And I remember, because of that, I remember being so mad that that had happened. I remember being so mad that that situation had happened where the police showed up and arrested me. But looking back, it was a blessing in disguise because it forced me to have to get these tickets taken care of. It forced me. I mean, I remember this is, we'll get to this in just, hang on 1 second. So I just remember being mad, but now I realize, I look back, I was like, oh, that was kind of like the universe's way of like pushing me, like, hey, get these tickets taken care of. You know, we got, and I remember being in jail and sitting in the holding cell, and the lady before I got in the holding cell, she said, are you, you know, I have to ask this, are you scared? Are you afraid? And I, for your safety. And I said, yes, yes, I am. I'm a gay man going into a holding cell. I'm like, yes, I'm afraid. But I sat there, probably 15, 20 guys in there. And I just remember there was this guy, he and I ended up talking, and it was almost like God was like, hey, I'm right here with you. You can relax. So I remember relaxing. I got out in 45 minutes, and then I got I was able to get those speeding tickets taken care of. But going back to that, so there was that happening in those years of depression, was being arrested. So that did have a hit on my self-esteem. Well, what's really interesting is 2017, I put on Facebook, I said, I'm really struggling with depression. I'm really suffering with it. Do you have any advice? Someone commented and they said, Stephen, you should look up Louise Hay, her affirmations really helped me to come out of depression. So I looked up Louise Hay on Facebook, on YouTube, and she was talking about affirmations and mirror work and loving yourself. So I started repeating affirmations. I started trying to talk to myself in the mirror. And then I started noticing 111 everywhere, 1111, 111, 222. I started noticing repeating numbers. It was like scary. And then I learned about the law of attraction. And then I learned about manifestation in general. I found Abraham Hicks's teachings. And I started in this depression. It was like God had given me this idea, start working on your self-esteem, start working on your relationship with yourself. And I went through this slow healing process of healing myself in the midst of this depression. I continued learning about manifestation, continued listening to Louise Hay, continued listening to Abraham Hicks. And then it got to the point where I was no longer telling myself, I hate you in the mirror. I was like noticing, like, I kind of like who I see in the mirror. It was like a very subtle difference. It was a little vibrational difference. It was very different, very small, but it was very noticeable. So I started to heal my relationship with myself. And I ended up in 2017 manifesting, meeting Mel Robbins, who is a big time speaker, coach in the world. I manifest meeting her. She coached me one-on-one in person. And I just remember during this time in my life, I was, even though I had come out of the closet in 2015, I went back in the closet. I was hiding. I was still hiding. Even in my depression, I was still hiding. And I just remember every time I would talk to my mom about being gay, it was like the subject would change. She would change the subject, or she wasn't very accepting of it. Well, Mel Robbins, I remember in the coaching session, she said, what you're going to do is you're going to go home and you're going to have a conversation with your mom. You're going to tell her who you are. So when I got home, I told my mom, I'm gay. This is who I am. You know, it's just who I am. I'm not changing. I can't change. This is who I am. My mom's like, yeah, I accept you. I love you. You know, she was finally got to the point where she was able to accept that this was okay and that she loved me. I'm her son. Nothing's going to change that. Now my mom is extremely supportive of who I am. She's been to the gay club with me. Like, it's just amazing. Well, during this period of depression lasted from the end of, I want to say the end of 2015 to about 2019. And so 2017, I learned about manifestation, law of attraction, started building myself back up, started healing myself, started loving myself. And then I really got interested in 2018, got interested in coaching people and sharing my story. And I was reminded, I remember in 2017, 2018, I was like, God, what is my purpose in life? What am I supposed to be doing? Send me a sign. I ended up manifesting this free reading with an intuitive reader. And in that reading, I was reminded your purpose in life, your passion is speaking, is sharing your story. That's your purpose in this life is speaking. And I was reminded of that dream that I had as a kid, speaking on stages in front of thousands and thousands of people. So I was able to remind myself of that. Okay, I do have a purpose. I'm here for a reason. And then 2019, I started working with an NLP coach who really helped me to come out of that depression. And my life started improving. One thing after another started building up, building up, building up, building up. And what's really cool is I was able to, that small house that we were living in, I was able to, we found out that we had to move in 2022. And I was able to help us manifest moving into a beautiful two-story, four-bedroom home. And like, I've completely changed my life from hating myself to now I love myself, from hiding myself to now literally teaching people how to step into the spotlight. And if you remember the pastor who said to me, your ministry's over. And my friend, the good cop, my friend said, yes, but God is, this is a big world and God is a big God. 10 years later, I have 70,000 followers on TikTok. I just reached 2,000 followers on Instagram. I'm here on this awesome podcast speaking to God knows how many people. And so isn't it crazy how at that one point, 10 years ago, I thought my work was over. I thought I was done. And here I am, my crown chakra is vibrating. I get so excited about this. Here I am 10 years later, sharing my story with thousands. My videos have reached millions of people all around the world on TikTok, all around the world. One of my messages is to people is you were born to have a positive and lasting impact on hundreds, thousands, and even millions of people around the world. But you got to start believing that for yourself. And so finally, in a couple of years ago, I started showing up online and sharing my message. Now I'm working with clients. Now, you know, like we're attracting speaking on stages. You know, we're doing the damn thing. It's just during those 5 years of depression, during those 5 years of isolation, during those 5 years of feeling like God hated me and that God was punishing me, I look back at that chapter of my life where, because I lost my car, I lost my license, I lost the new place I had moved in, I had lost all of that, and I felt as though God was punishing me. Now I look back and I realize God was never punishing me. God was never torturing me. That me losing my car, me losing my license, me losing all of that was my fault. It was my fault. I was immature. I was irresponsible. I was young. And I'm not going to call myself dumb because I don't talk about him like that, the past version. He wasn't dumb. He just wasn't thinking clearly. He was hurting so much. He was hurting that he just didn't care about the tickets. He didn't care. He was so clouded by his emotional pain, this spiritual pain that was the last thing he cared about. So I look back and I realize God was never punishing me. God did allow me to go through that. God allowed me because that situation, hitting rock bottom in my room, falling on my knees, hitting rock bottom, it was like in that moment, I entered a cocoon. I entered this cocoon of healing. And we all think and we all imagine the caterpillar makes the cocoon, goes in the cocoon, and it's this cute little process. No, they turn into gunk. They completely melt down. And then they go through this rebirthing process. And that's exactly what I went through. And I was saying it the other day, last night, I was talking to people in my community. I was like, I hit rock bottom. And I said, God had put a ladder at rock bottom. Here's a ladder. But before I could get on the ladder, I had to get up off the floor. I was so exhausted. I was so drained. So I started to stand back up. And as I stood back up, I was then able to get on the ladder of one step at a time. Learn how to believe in yourself. Learn how to see yourself correctly. A butterfly just flew by. Learn how to love yourself. Heal your relationship with God. And I kept climbing until I was out of rock bottom. And so now here I am today. I just love being here and I love life now and I love impacting people. And my life is completely different now in the best way possible.
Your story, absolutely amazing. Gosh, I love it. When we had talked about it in our pre-interview, I was so blown away. Yes. And you know what the key is? And that was the same thing with my story, is I embrace who I was back then. And I found the love within myself to love that person again. And that is the key for sure. Oh, so good. So good. Oh, you're going to resonate with so many people out there. And what I love about it is you are not the only one.
There's so many people out there that feel like they are alone and they're not alone.
They're not. Yes. And we've experienced that personally. Through your whole process and your experiences and looking back at your whole entire journey up until this point in time, what is it that you feel that you learned the most that you want to share with others?
I feel like what I've learned the most is, number one, I would say, take personal responsibility. That is so huge. Like,
yeah, you can't go forward unless you take responsibility for your actions.
Yes. Absolutely. And honestly, it was like during those 5 years, it was kind of like God was teaching me that, like, Stephen, look back throughout your life and look at these certain situations and learn how to take responsibility. Your fate, your destiny is in your hands. It's not in the church's hands. It's not in your pastor's hands. It's not in this. Where you're headed in life is all up to you. So I would say personal responsibility was number one. I would also say the second thing is God is not as mean and as vindictive and as judgmental as people make him out to be. Because I look back, there's a butterfly again. I look back in my life, I was so afraid of God, but I actually found that God was just right there in the midst of all that, teaching me how to believe in myself again, teaching me how to love, very gentle. God could have very like poured it on me, like, believe in yourself. But God's like, I want you to build yourself back up step by step. So he sent books, he sent podcasts, he sent videos, he sent coaches, he sent all these different things. Slowly, one by one, I was able to build, like I'm doing like a ladder, but I was able to put brick by brick by brick by brick to build myself up. So I'd actually say that God wants to help you. God wants to give to help you in this situation. And then I'd say number three, you are deserving and you are worthy of love. You are worthy of being seen for who you are now. I made a post this morning, something about along the lines of, you don't have to change who you are. You don't have to be someone else. Yes, I believe in personal development. Yes, I believe in bettering ourselves, but you're worthy now, just as you are now. You are worthy of being loved now. And sometimes the first one to give you that love has to actually not sometimes all the time. The first one to give you that love has to be you. You have to learn how to love yourself enough to say enough is enough. Enough is enough. I'm better than this. I deserve more than this. And I'm going to make it happen. You have to give yourself that love for it. You are worthy as you are now to receive love. You are worthy of being seen for who you are now. And then I want to do one more. I feel like the final one is that you are meant to be here. You're meant to be here. I think that was a big thing for me, is realizing I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be alive. I'm supposed to be on this earth. I know it can be sucky. I know it can really be very painful, but you're supposed to be alive. You're here for a reason. Choose life is what I would say is that was a big thing for me, was choosing to live and realizing I deserve to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. So you said four very, very, very important points. And for the audience members out there that are listening, is there anything other than those four points that you feel strongly that they need to hear, that perhaps are going through the same situation as you or have gone through that situation as you, but needs that little extra push or a little guidance? Is there something more that you would add to that, that you want them to know?
It's going to sound very blunt, but I promise you it's coming from a place of love. I promise. If I could look back and say anything to that version of me back then, Stephen, you can sit here and you can hide yourself from the world. You can sit here and isolate yourself from the world. Regardless of what you do, you can put yourself back out there. You can do whatever you choose. Life is going to keep going on. The world's going to keep spinning. Mm-hmm. The world is going to keep spinning. So you sitting here isolating yourself, you sitting here, you know, watching other people make their dreams come true. Life is going to keep spinning, keep going on. The world is going to keep spinning. And then another thing is I would say is in that anxiety of hating myself and being afraid of being judged, like even going out to the grocery store, this is going to sound very blunt, very, very in your face. You are not as important as you think you are to strangers. You are not as important as you think you are. They don't care. Those people out in public, they don't care about you as much as you think they do. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. People, listen, the good news is people don't care about you as much as you think they do. And what I mean by that is people are not judging you as much as you think they are. Mm-hmm. People are not criticizing you as much as you think they are. If they are, that's on them. But when I was going out in public, I feel like I'm speaking to people because there are people out there that are really afraid of going out in public sometimes, or they're afraid of putting, like even stepping out of their house, just like I was. I would say is those people are selfish. They're focused on themselves. They're not focused on you. So go with the path of least resistance. Be selfish too. Focus on you. I would say also, I had to get to the point, my perception of me had to become the most important perception of me. My opinion of me had to become more important to me than your opinion of me. The way you think and feel about me is nowhere near as important as what I think and feel about me. I had to get into that kind of mindset. My dreams, my goals, my life is more important to me than what a stranger out there thinks. Me enjoying my life and going out in public and living life is more important to me than what strangers out there think. My happiness and my love for life is more important to me than what some pastor thinks. I had to get into that kind of mindset that this is my life and how I feel about me needs to be more important than what other people feel about. I'm not saying be arrogant or cocky or be, you know, anything like that. I'm saying respect yourself enough to make that how you feel about yourself more important than how other people feel about you.
I love how you've explained that phrase. What other people think of me is none of my business. We've all heard it. And if you haven't heard it, that's a very common phrase out there. You need to live by that. And you went into depth of what that phrase really, truly means. Absolutely beautiful. Just beautiful. With your journey, where you've been, where you are now, you're a manifesting coach, you help people. Can you go more into depth of where you are now with all of that?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So one of my passions is teaching people to be a superstar. I feel like my whole life I've had this dream of being famous, of being known. And for so long, I felt guilty about that. Now I don't feel guilty about it. Now I completely own it. I want to be famous. You know, I want to impact millions of people. And so I teach people also, you get to be famous. There's people out there, their dream is they dream of being famous. So one thing I love manifesting is growing my online following. I love it. It's so much fun. But I would say that my life, I'm going to be very honest. I'm not getting on here and saying I'm living the dream life, but fast rewind back to 2018. The life I'm living now is what I was manifesting.
Yeah.
We live in a beautiful two-story home. You know, I'm about to have my sister's about to have another baby, which is something that we've been wanting and manifesting. And, you know, I've got friends all over the world. And you know what? Can I just say that I've manifested this place where complete peace, like peace of mind, like being able to walk around the grocery store and just having peace, to me, that's a manifestation. To me, that is like something I've created for myself by doing all that inner work. And like, I just remember where I am today. You know, I've got all this Taylor Swift stuff. I've got this awesome room. I got a nice bed. The bed before I had was on the floor, you know? And so I couldn't, you know, like, I remember not even be able to mow the yard because I would like almost throw up in the first 2 minutes. Now I'm the one in the house who mows the yard. It doesn't impact me. I go on daily 45-minute walks. I've been on 90. I love going on 90-minute walks. I have manifested some awesome things. I've manifested free trips. I've manifested, you know, I've manifested first-class flights. Like I have just really manifested working with clients, dream clients, and growing my online following. And it just feels like to me, like, yes, it would be awesome if I could sit here and say to you, oh, I'm living in a mansion, you know, I'm speaking on stages all over the world now and doing all this. But I kind of feel like people need a little bit like, oh, he's not that far ahead of me.
That's true.
He's not, you know, it's like, I want to take people on the manifestation journey. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely it does. Yeah. Because you are an example of where they can go and how they're going to get there.
Yes.
Like my colleagues.
It's not that far away for you. Yeah. It's not that far away.
And well, you know, you're guiding them. You're showing them the path to get there. Mm-hmm. And it's relatable to them is what it is. You know, like I've got colleagues that are just behind me, you know, just finishing off a book or whether it's getting their websites together or whatever. And they're like, I'm just right behind you. And I'm like, you sure are. You know, and I'm their cheering squad and I'm there to guide them with whatever they need. You need a virtual assistant. You need someone to help you with your website. You need guidance in this, whatever it is. Right.
It's kind of like you're like,
it's we're
like,
relatable. Like,
yes. It's kind of like
we are relatable. We're grounded.
Yes. We're human. We're not putting on this like fake show. It's kind of like what we do is I like to imagine like this, our coaching and what we do. It's like we're turning around and being like, hey, grab your hand so I can bring you up here with me.
Absolutely. That's exactly.
It's like you're just back there. You're just back there. You're not too far away.
Nope. Because we're vibrational beings, right? So we're just above them vibrationally. And then we're just bringing them up with us, bringing them up as we grow up. Right. Because we're like, you know, I've got people which are vibrational ahead of me, which are helping me to climb my end result. Right. And that's where me hiring my different coaches.
Yeah.
They're on my vibration, higher vibration that I want to get. Okay. I'm bringing you into my life. Right. That's how it works. Yeah, the steps of the ladder, absolutely, to get the highest elevation to what we learn in life before we pass on.
Yes.
Beautiful. Do you have any final words that you want to share with the audience? Is, you know, like, let's talk about your social media handles, anything like that, because this is what's going to be put into the podcast notes. So anybody that is listening to this wants to reach out to you, this is where they would go. So please share.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I do have a website, manifestwithsteven.com. That's Steven with a V, not a PH, Steven with a V. Also, I have my TikTok and Instagram handle, username. They are both Manifest with Steven Hill. Manifest with Steven Hill. And yeah, that's where I hang out the most. And you can go into the link in my bio on both Instagram and TikTok. And you can see that I have the Superstar Church podcast. I post videos on YouTube and I have an audio version on Spotify. Yeah, you can find me there.
I just love this time we had together, Steven. So thank you so much for being a part of my journey. Thank you for everything. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I want to say thank you for sharing this time with me. And don't forget to subscribe so you receive every episode. And please share this podcast with others. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram. And if you would like more information on my mindset and manifesting coaching, go to shannonmondor.com. Until next episode, blessings to all, and thank you for being a part of my journey.